Hey, everybody. Welcome to a special episode of the Legal Toolkit podcast. This is our Festivus episode. We recently had a live podcast at Suffolk University Law School in Boston, in which we allowed live guests to air grievances or talk about feats of strength within the legal field, including legal technology. This is a really fun show, and we talked about some crazy stuff here, including farming in Iowa, a cat named Leonidas, and people generally got to slam technology that they hated. So listen up, this is going to be a lot of fun. This event was sponsored by the Legal Hackers Group in Boston, the Boston Legal Hackers, the Legal Innovation and Technology Lab at Suffolk University Law School, and the MIT Media Lab. And also, of course, this episode, as every episode of Legal Toolkit, is sponsored by our sponsors for the show: TimeSolve, Abby Connect, Nexa Professional, and Scorpion. So Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy holidays. Grab your Festivus pole and let's go. It's a Festivus miracle.
Welcome to Legal Toolkit, bringing you the latest legal trends and business initiatives to help you manage your law firm with your host, Jared Correa. You're listening to Legal Talk Network.
Welcome to another episode of the award-winning Legal Toolkit podcast here on the Legal Talk Network. If you are looking for a 2019 Festivus celebration, well, my friends, you found it. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. If you're a first-time listener, hopefully you'll become a long-time listener. And if you're Jerry Stiller, you're probably shaking your fist to the cloud right now. As always, I'm your show host, Jared Correa, and in addition to casting this pod, I'm the CEO of Red Cave Law Firm Consulting, which offers subscription-based law practice management consulting services for law firms, bar associations, and legal vendors. Check us out at redcavelegal.com. I'm also the COO of Gideon Software, Inc., which offers chatbots, the first-to-market chatbot builder, and predictive analytics created specifically for law firms. Find out more at www.gideon.legal. You can also listen to my other podcast. Yes, I have another one because I'm not busy enough, which I host with my wife, my dear wife, Jessica. She tells me to say that. That show is called The Lobby List, and that's available on iTunes. So subscribe, rate, and comment. But here on the Legal Talk Network's Legal Toolkit, we provide you with a new tool each episode to add to your own toolkit so that your practices will become more and more like best practices. Now then, in this episode, we're doing a live podcast. I'm here at Suffolk. Very nice, very nice. All right, order. Sorry, I had to do that. All right, so we're here live at Suffolk University Law School in the MOOC courtroom, and we're here on behalf of the Legal Innovation and Technology Lab, which is run by, managed by, directed by the great David Colarusso, who's here as well, friend of Legal Talk Network, friend of mine, friend of everyone in this room. So before I introduce today's guests, I usually do a bio, but we're going to bring people up one by one to give us their Festivus gripe or a jurisprudential feat of strength. So the idea here is that we're going to have a real Festivus celebration with airing of grievances or feats of strength. You can talk about one or both. So the idea is we're going to bring people up, they're going to introduce themselves, and then we're going to have an open-ended conversation. And this is delightful for me because you can't see this because you're listening and not seeing me, but I'm at a judge's table right now, which is, this is maybe one of the most exciting moments of my life. All right, so I'm now canvassing the audience. Who's coming up first? Nobody? Don't make me pick. Come on up. Oh, we got Russell. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Stand there, sir. Don't make me call the bailiff. All right.
The prisoner box.
All right. Sir, please introduce yourself.
My name is Russell Mattson, and I have a list of angry grievances.
Oh, good. Before we get to that, tell people what you do or what you're interested in.
I wish I had a better answer for such a... I should have really have an elevator pitch.
Nothing so obscene, please.
I am trying to get into legal technology or get a job with tenure.
All right. Well, this is a good advertisement for that.
Nothing better than spreading negativity across the Legal Talk Network if you're trying to network.
Right. Hire this man. He's really pleasant in person. All right. So where do you want to start? Airing of grievances?
Yes.
What's your first grievance?
Well, my first grievance is with legal tech in general.
Okay, hit me.
You would think that'd be, you'd be think that it's so clear that there's the need for products and there's so many smart nerds working on this. And yet, where are the jobs that are just out there for everyone qualified to work?
Too many nerds.
Yes.
So the issue is that there are supposed to be jobs everywhere, but there are only, so I partly agree with this. Like, I think a lot of the legal tech movement is taking place in cities like Toronto, Silicon Valley, New York. We're sitting in a courtroom, a fake courtroom, although I'm going to pretend it's real for right now, in Boston. And if you were looking for a legal tech job in Boston, there's not a lot of places to go, right?
That seems to be the case.
Yeah. So, and then the issue is like, are you going to be able to work for a company that will allow you to work from home? And that's not always the case.
That's true.
So I think we're making a call to these legal technology companies to hire more people in more diverse geographic areas. Would that be safe to say?
That would be a perfectly reasonable conclusion to draw. We can also be angry at the market.
Oh, okay. So tell me about that.
Well, I mean,
why should we be angry at the market?
Because Adam Smith's invisible hand should be solving this problem.
Oh, here we go. All right. Can you tell people what that is? Not everybody's going to know what that is.
Well, if I remember
Adam Smith, was he a pop star from the 80s?
It seemed, I think that was Adam
Ant. No, Adam Ant. Sorry. Go ahead.
If I remember my Econ 101 from the 1987, it was that there's the market is made up of invisible actors with invisible hands, and everything just sort of works seamlessly and perfectly. So needs are supposed to occur, money is supposed to be available, and people will magically do the work. And I shake my fist with fury at the market because that hasn't seemed to happen.
So is the theory bunk, or is the market just not operating the way it should?
Well, markets, of course, are always perfectly efficient. Everyone has perfect information and acts
naturally
in their own best interest at all times.
We're not piping in that laughter. That's real laughter.
So my guess is that we're in a little bubble where there's a bunch of hype going on.
A lot of hype.
And yes.
Maybe it's overblown. Can we say that?
We just did.
All right.
There was no dissenting voices, so there you go.
So this is not too negative.
All right, well, then I'll move on to the next topic.
Oh, all right, you got another one. All right, this is good. It's a hot start. Did you write this down?
I do have three bullet points.
Oh, nice. All right, let's get to number two. Beautiful. Are you using a teleprompter?
I am trying to integrate everything into Clio, and Clio and Zapier aren't always nice to each other.
Oh, boy. So what specific issues have you had?
We use Clio Manage, and we're trying to use Clio Grow.
Right.
And I'm trying to make Ring Central, all the text and pictures to go automatically go into Clio, and so far that hasn't happened.
All right. This is good, because Clio people listen to my show.
And I do have a history of trolling Clio, because I know how the NPS scores work. And I will regularly just give them that 8, because they want the 9s and 10s. And if you give them the 8, you get all these emails back.
That's cool, man.
It is.
You're just trolling people now.
I mean, but such is the nature of Festivus.
Right.
It is kind of.
I mean, you're killing it. Like, I'm so glad you're the first guest. You're like really getting into the spirit of Festivus. All right, so Clio can do a better job with Zapier integrations with Clio Grow.
Yes, because they have $250 million of VC money.
Is that true?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, I don't know. I only got like 5% of that, so I'm not sure of the actual figure.
Well, I just assume that it makes sense to move to the market leader, because while it's not clear that the VCs will make any money, it is clear that with all that money being put into it, it seems like the product will exist for quite a while.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's if the focus is going to be on building a better software product, because the focus may instead be on building a platform and acquiring partners.
Yes.
Because there's two ways to build a product, which is to build your own stuff or to acquire people who've already built what you need.
Yeah, which seems like the thing that makes the most sense. And I find it hilarious how many people I know, they have an idea, they're like, I have a startup, and instantly they've already moved to like, and then I will sell it to Clio. It's like the journey isn't the reward.
Gotta have a dream.
Yes.
All right, we're going to move on to grievance number three. That was a good one.
Those were, well...
I thought you had three bullet points. You're teasing me?
I did have three
me?
Bullet points. But the issues were with legal tech, the market, and with Clio Xavier.
Oh, okay. All right. We got all three bullet points. All right. Do you want to spin this in a positive fashion?
Never.
Can we have a speed of strength? Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You may go. All right. Who's next? All right. Come on, man. All right. Guest number two.
All right.
All right. Please, sir, identify yourself and where you work or what you want to promote.
I'm Paul Gowder, and I'm a law professor at Iowa, and I want to be very cruel about Microsoft.
Oh, great. All right. Let's bash Microsoft. So, wait, did you say you were a law professor where?
At Iowa.
Iowa?
Yeah.
The state?
The University of Iowa.
Oh, I love Iowa. Where's the University of Iowa is in?
Iowa.
City.
Yes. Is it Iowa City?
Dude, I know
in
Iowa.
The state
I'm not
of
joking
Iowa,
with you.
It's the University of Iowa. Very
Iowa
briefly.
State is in Ames. Iowa
University of
is
Iowa is in Iowa City.
All right.
And very briefly, I lived on a street called Iowa Avenue, just to make absolutely sure.
That's legit. I like that. I am actually, I've been to Iowa many, many times. Yeah. My wife's family has a farm in Iowa.
Oh, fabulous. So, corn or pork?
They do corn and soybeans.
Okay.
I love Iowa.
Yeah.
Tenderloin sandwiches, loose meat sandwiches. I'm all over this. Like, I'm not a poser.
Too much ranch, though.
Yes.
Ranch on every.
Yeah, no. There's a lot of ranch. Like, I tell people, like, an Iowa salad is like lettuce and 1,000 breadcrumbs.
Sometimes with green jello.
Sometimes. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. All right. Good talk about Iowa. What are you, so, out of curiosity, what are you doing here in Boston?
So, I'm actually visiting this semester at BU.
Oh, you're here for the whole semester.
Yeah.
It's like the same, right? Same weather pattern and stuff like that.
No, more snow, less cold here.
Right. Yeah, it is. Iowa's pretty brutal.
Iowa. So though a few years ago, speaking of festivals,
it's just flat. Yeah.
I was, when one of those polar vortex years, I was checking other cities. Hmm. And the only place on the planet that was settled that I could find that was routinely every day colder than Iowa City was in northern Siberia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not just Siberia, northern Siberia.
You need That's hardcore. You need like some skyscrapers to block the wind.
Some mountains. I keep saying I should run for office.
You should.
On the Trumpian platform of build the dome and make Canada pay.
Oh, I like that. Okay, so we've only known each other for 3 minutes, but you have my vote.
I
want you to know that. So you said you have a grievance against Microsoft. Let's do it.
So the grievance is that Microsoft Word is quite possibly the single worst piece of software ever written. That includes, you know, the 737 Mac software.
Wow.
That includes the Patriot missile targeting software that had a floating point error back in the day and, like, bombed a few cities.
This is great.
Microsoft Word is worse.
Can I say that the Festivus podcast is going really well? All right, can you tell me? So are you one of these lawyer? Are you a lawyer, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you one of these lawyer types who loves WordPerfect? Is this like a Word versus WordPerfect debate?
So I haven't practiced.
Reveal codes, am I right?
But when I was in practice, reveal codes. Reveal codes is the only thing.
It tugs on the heartstrings a little bit. Reveal codes.
It really does.
Yes.
How could they not steal that? Surely Microsoft has a long and honorable history of stealing features from better companies. How is it that they could not steal that one?
Shameful. All right. Do you have specific grievances against Word?
I do. And so most people, their specific grievances involve bullet points and why they just don't.
Russell had like 10 bullet points. He only went through three.
But my specific grievance, my main grievance among the thousands of wrongs that Microsoft Word does to me on a daily basis is if you've ever written a law review article, one thing that you know about law review articles is that law review editors like to make a lot of changes.
Right.
And one thing you know about Microsoft is that every single change to anything counts as a change and track changes. So like if they change a single comma,
right,
that counts as a distinct change. And so as a law professor writing articles, you will get this thing back and it will have 5,000 discrete changes. And of those 5,000 discrete changes, 20 will be something you actually need to look at.
Right. I see the pain in your eyes right now.
It's agony.
Yes.
And because When you try to get through the other 4,980 changes,
right,
which are only 4,980 changes because Microsoft is incapable of aggregating them, it crashes.
Yes. All right. All right. I feel you.
It's agony.
Yes. So is there a solution?
There is a solution. Okay. The solution is called Markdown. Oh, the solution is called Git. The solution is...
Colarusa is a big Markdown guy, right? You have stock in Markdown, don't you?
I'm going to plug a thing.
Did he put you up to this?
He did not. I put myself up to it. Right. I have a thing. I've started a little blog, which has stalled because...
All right. Oh, wait. Is the blog still available?
It's still available. It's stalled because I've been meaning to write more for it, but okay. I started trying to write it.
Can we have the URL?
Thing. Yes.
Because this is gonna force you to write more because people are going to be visiting the page.
It's called techup.lawyer.
Oh, techup.lawyer. Okay.
And the latest post on it right now is a detailed tutorial on how to switch to Markdown.
Oh, beautiful.
And never let Microsoft darken your door again.
Oh, this is good. Okay. So when was the latest post written?
Months ago, because I started on an InfoSec post and that takes forever. And so I've given up. But I'm going to start again and other people should contribute too.
All right. So this is So like, here's what I want you to do, man. Like say that blog URL again, and then let's make the request for people to contribute.
So you
want to give an email address or a contact point for you?
Techup.lawyer.
Yep.
I think actually there's contribution instructions on there.
All
probably
right.
The easiest way is to actually go to the GitHub repository for the blog and write your own, and then I will merge it, and you will be a legal technology training blogger.
Write for this man's blog. He's lonely. He's in Iowa. He's surrounded by cows.
He's sad and cold. Oh, am I plugging my own Twitter as well? You can also reach me on Twitter.
We have coaching. We have coaching during the podcast. Thank you, David.
I've been coached. Plug your Twitter account. Just PaulGowder, and you will also see lots of cat pictures.
Oh, beautiful.
I have the most beautiful cat.
You do?
So it's important.
What's your cat's name?
Leonidas.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
There's a good story
like the king
that
from 300? Like the king?
Yeah, exactly. So three reasons. One, because he looks like a baby lion.
Oh, okay. That's
two,
fair.
Because he was afraid of everything and he needed a courageous name.
Oh, well, there you go.
Did
it work?
And three, because he really likes to blockade doors. And so my theory was if a Persian cat ever tried to get through a door,
right,
he would never let that cat pass.
Oh, this is beautiful. Yeah. All right. I think your cat needs his own blog as well.
Does. He
Can
has
we
an
get
Instagram,
that going?
Kind of. I mean, he has he my does? Instagram.
Can you please tell
Instagram.
Me what your cat's Instagram
he has a
is?
Facebook page. If you just search Leonidas Maximilian Gowder Smith III.
Wow, that is impressive. He's like a duke or something. He's
he
got like eight
duke.
Names.
Every okay. cat's a duke.
I think we've covered a lot of ground here.
I think we have.
Let me at this point call someone else up. Is there anything else you want to say that you have not
covered
yet?
I could mention my cat a few more times.
Mention your
really
cat, like,
cat.
Let's mention the cat, like,
yeah,
one more time. Can
I
we?
I have the best
Can
cat.
I have
my
his
cat.
Full name once more?
Leonidas Maximilian Gowder Smith III. He is the best cat, and you should follow his Facebook page.
People, check out this cat.
Yeah.
He sounds great. Dope. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Can we have another speaker? That's going to be a tough act to follow, I'm going to be honest with you. Who wants to come up next? Do I have to call on someone? Who's next? David? Colarusso?
So,
dear Lord, to what do I owe the pleasure?
Well,
are you
going to
talk about Markdown? Is it Markup or Markdown? I always get that
Markdown.
Wrong. Markdown. Are you going to talk about Markdown again?
No.
Are you
going to
talk about Markup?
So I thought I'd talk about some jurisprudential feats.
Wait, hold
of
on.
Strength.
Hold on, sir. Please, for the audience listening at home.
For the record.
Who are you? And what
my
do
name,
you do?
My name is David Colarusso, and I'm the director of the Legal Innovation and Technology Lab here at Suffolk.
Brilliant man. Go on, sir.
Just upstairs. And I wanted to respond to some of the earlier guests' grievances.
I like to call them the haters.
and so, cat haters, but cat lovers.
There are. Yes, this is true. This is true. So one of the things we do here at the lab is we teach law students how to work as part of interdisciplinary teams to sort of understand the realm of the possible in the tech world. And we've actually had a lot of success with our students getting jobs with those skills, but they're not legal tech jobs, sort of in quotes. Although sometimes they are. We have had success with people going on to do legal tech consulting or to do innovation, be an innovation officer at different firms.
Within law firms.
Within law firms.
Right. Which is technically a legal tech job, right?
It is a legal tech job. But I think the real skills that we're teaching them is how to think about these tools and how to think about how things work. And that's the skill that they're learning, because something that I think we fail to recognize often enough as lawyers is that we're information workers and that our tools are something that we should take pride in and that we should understand and that we should treat the same way that craftspeople treat their tools.
Oh, man, you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
I get in trouble for comparing lawyers to plumbers sometimes. Would you go that far? Probably not.
My grandfather was a pipe fitter, so I think there's a lot to be said there. My father was trained as an electrician.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot to be said for, and you know, that valuing your tools and knowing how they work is a big one. So I'd say that, you know, legal tech skills are really just lawyer skills. And so as a question of where the jobs are everyone's jobs now. And I think it's, I think what we do just this week, reached 38 states with a requirement of tech competence.
Right.
As an ethical guide. So I'd like to just say that, you know, it's happening now. And since we're here at Suffolk Law, I'd like to say it's happening here.
It's happening right here at Suffolk University Law School.
Here.
Circle R.
And so, yeah. So understand your tools. And it's not just about, it's not about turning attorneys into coders to bring in the...
Right. That's been a longstanding debate, which I think like not a lot of attorneys necessarily understand. But there's a lot of talk about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of the question of, why don't we hire, we hire electricians, we don't do our own electrical work.
Yeah,
Or we hire plumbers, we don't do our own plumbing work. But, you know, I'm not a plumber, but I've been known to turn off the water to my house if there's a leak.
Yes.
I've been known to
I've unclogged a toilet or two myself.
And most importantly, I've replaced washers in a leaky faucet as opposed to paying $300 an hour to have someone replace a 5-cent item.
Yes.
And that's the type of skills that we want to make sure lawyers understand that they can do. There's things they can do that they might not think of as coding, using a lot of the tools, the sort of like no-code option stuff, things like community lawyer, to do things that they might think they have to know coding to do, but it depends on really what you mean by coding. And if it's telling a computer how to do something, there are a lot of options for that. And knowing what's possible is often the biggest impediment to getting there. And also, it's important to be able to know what's possible so you know when someone's trying to sell you a bill of goods.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It brings a tear to my eye.
That's my positive bit.
Do you have any grievances?
Grievances?
You don't have to have any grievances.
I'm pretty optimistic now. I think everyone else has covered anything that's out there.
Do you have any pets?
At this time, I do not have any pets.
No pets?
No pets.
Before you leave, don't leave yet. Again, your name?
David Colarusso.
Where your affiliation?
Suffolk University Law School.
Where everybody should go if they want to get a law degree.
And we do a lot of stuff here, especially in legal tech.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you, sir. All right. Who's next? Anybody else want to go? Warren. Yes. All right. My good friend, Warren.
Yeah. Why not? Why not put myself on the
line? All right. Name. Yeah,
we got affiliation. So I am with Elevate Services. That's a law company. I think some people call it an alternative legal service provider, but they don't like that term. They like the law company.
All right, we'll go with the law company.
I'm a managing director of digital strategy and services. And do not ask me what I do, because I have yet to be able to figure out an elevator speech to describe my job. And it literally
we won't like tell anybody.
Yeah, it almost seems like every month or 6 weeks I'm doing something a little different.
But what's fascinating about you is you were formerly a practicing attorney.
Yeah.
And you taught yourself a lot of stuff related to legal tech.
I did. I taught myself a lot of stuff.
I think that's a good story.
I literally, a year ago, I was a practicing attorney who was doing a little bit of maybe digital consulting, data consulting with LexPredict, which then got bought by Elevate Services.
Yep.
And now I'm completely flipped, where I'm now full-time with Elevate Services, and the legal stuff is sort of going by the wayside. So,
which is like a very unique story in legal. Frankly, like I think very few lawyers do this.
Tell me that. I'm almost thinking of Liam Neeson, right? That whole.
You're just like Liam. I was just thinking, you're just like Liam Neeson.
Yeah, having a particular set of skills, although they're not as dangerous.
No,
I think.
No. You haven't killed anybody that I'm aware of. So,
because my coding is still atrocious, but and I have been known to crash servers. But
Somebody's going to test the server viability, right? Might as well be you.
That's absolutely right. And so my gripe is this, right?
Your gripe,
is that
yes.
Everybody seems to gripe a lot about legal technology. And I don't think...
Oh, I like where you're going to this.
It's not a new thing, right? So yeah. I actually practiced for a very long time. So when I started...
Like
right,
5 years?
The gripe was literally about computers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They were all griping. We don't want to do these computer things. They're going to make us type our own stuff, right? They all had secretaries. And the secretaries, of course, were all women. But, yeah. You know, we're going to make us type our own stuff. It's going to be horrible. And, of course, now... Right? Everybody has computers. You don't think about this. The internet. About 6 years after I started, it was the Windows thing, right? They were all griping about having to use Windows, and it's going to be unstable, and our computers are going to crash.
Word perfect, people.
Yeah, well.
You were right.
Yeah. Well, at my firm, actually, they held off for about 2 years, so we didn't start off with 3.1. I think it was another... stage along, it was a little more stable. Yes, yeah. And you're right, Paul, they did. I would say, though, I'm seriously thinking, though, I learned a lot over the last, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot of stuff, but I'm thinking about going to Stanford and getting a doctorate.
Oh,
so
for
I
real?
So I can understand how to use Git to write my briefs, because I still can't figure Git out.
Oh, all right. This is good. Now we're in the confessional period.
We're in the confessional period, and actually, when
that makes two of us, neither can
Professor Gowder put up his, you know, his blog, explaining how to
I actually
do all
think
this
Leonidas
stuff,
types all the blogs, but I digress.
I did read it, and I can't figure that out. So that's so I'm going to stick with Word, I think. So in any case,
that's fair. And 5 years from now, you'll have your doctorate from Stanford, so you'll be good to go. Do
it's
anything
take
with that.
Me a couple of decades to pull that one off. That would be hard. So in any case, that's my point is people gripe about this stuff. But the reality is it's, you know, you just have to sort of dig in and find out what's going on and use it. And, you know, all the things we think about that were new, right? I mean, a lot of them are very much commonplace when you look back. And it's true that it takes a very long time for everybody to say, get the computer on their desk.
Right.
Start using email.
Yeah.
You know, use ballpoint pens. I have a feeling that when ballpoint pens came out, there was like a huge learning curve, right? And there's a lot of lawyers who didn't like to use them. In fact, my old law partner actually liked to have, he had a non-ballpoint pen that he would use for signing important contracts.
What's the alternative to a ballpoint pen? Like a fountain pen? Like what was
fountain
previous?
Pen, yeah. Yeah, he had a fountain pen.
Like actually dipping it into ink and stuff?
I think it had a cartridge in it. So it was a little more modern than the inkwell. But it was a fountain pen and it... Granted, it you know, wrote really nice.
It sounds really, really classy. Like, I kind of want one.
Yeah, it was. Actually, it was
I feel like I
have,
should have a fountain pen at my desk.
It was very classy. You pull it out for the important signings, and you use the fountain pen.
That's right. So, you throw on my ascot, sign something with a fountain pen. Yes.
Right. So, you know, I mean, now we're going to have electronic signing, you know, right. And pretty soon that's going to be the
no
reward.
Pens.
Everybody's going to use it. And it's the same thing with... you know, products like the one we were talking about, like Woodpecker. I mean, this is going to be how you do things.
Right.
It may take us, you know, 5 to 10 years to really get there. But
you think part of it's a function of effort, like lawyers should dive into tech more to get a better understanding.
Yeah, I do think people need to.
I think that's true.
And there's definitely a lot of lawyers who don't learn to use these tools.
Very superficially use them or just don't take the time or effort to use them at all.
There is, it's true to be said, that a lot of them, and people talk all the time about the fact that the lawyers have had Excel on their desk for a long time, don't know how to use that, and they've had Word on their desk for a long time, and they don't know how to use that.
Right.
And certainly none of them know how to use markup.
Yes.
A few exceptions.
Yes.
But
or even Markdown while we're at it.
Or even Markdown while you're at it.
Well, so, this is a good one. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Anything else you wanted to say before I... release you from the court?
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right. Can you tell people again where you work, what you do, and where they can find out more about your company?
Okay. So, Warren Agin. I work at Elevate Services. And I'm also, I want to plug this.
Plug whatever you would like. This is your time.
I chair a group called Legal Analytics within the ABA Business Law section.
Right, yes.
So, anybody who's a law student, right, they have an ABA membership for free, they can join that group. Mm-hmm. And anybody who's a business law section member of the ABA, and there's like 30,000 of them out there. Some of your listeners right. are probably members of that group,
I'm
but
sure
don't know
are.
What's inside of it. So they can all join this legal analytics committee, and they can learn more about data and things like that. So
that's awesome.
And I'm really into that stuff.
How would they find out information about the committee? Like just go to the ABA
they
website?
They have to go to the ABA website, yeah, and they go to whatever they have set up for themselves, and they
gotcha.
they can just Google Legal Analytics Committee Business Law Section and Google.
And how do people find Elevate Legal? Elevate Legal, am
it's
I saying ElevateServices.com.
ElevateServices.com, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's interesting. There's a whole, you know, Elevate Services, what these law companies do is they sort of take the routine, low-risk work, and they find more efficient ways of processing it other than doing it within law firms and law departments. And, you know, they make a lot of money doing that with people, right?
Right.
But technology still, even simple technology, underpins a lot of that.
True.
You know, I mean, just the systems to keep workflow going, be able to allow people sitting in Arizona or India or Indonesia or Poland. We have a whole contracts department in Poland, right? To be able to work on things from other parts of the world. It's very technology driven.
Yeah.
It lets me work from Boston.
Which is great,
right?
Yeah.
Right, because I'm like the only elevator who's like right downtown in Boston. And then...
Wait, elevator? Is that what you call it?
Elevators, yeah, yeah.
Is this a cult? You know, Warren, is this a cult? Do you need help? Don't drink any Kool-Aid that they give you.
Yeah. So anyway, so in terms of where people can find out more about me, I'm on Twitter at Analytic Law. And
yes.
I've got a website up at analyticlaw.com.
Oh, you do? Analyticlaw.com.
Yeah.
What a great handle. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
This
Thank
was
you.
Great. Anybody else want to go? Daz, are you coming up? This is what I've been waiting for. This is your. Can I give you credit for this being your idea?
That was going to be good.
If you're strutting up here, like, you got to bring the heat. Can I tell you this? Can I tell people this was your idea?
Yes.
This podcast? So I want to give you full credit. Daz Greenwood.
You.
You're up here now in Boston, right?
Yep.
You were in New York for a little while. All right. So, like, for the podcast audience, name, affiliation. I just gave your name, but you can give it again. And then we can get into grievances.
I'm at MIT, where I run the computational law research program there. That's at law.mit.edu. And perhaps my best affiliation, and also brings us to my first grievance.
Oh, great.
is
you really thought this out. Oh, okay.
So, Your Honor, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What is the group that is in fact convening this meeting that hasn't been mentioned yet?
Oh, Lord. Legal Hackers? Do we not talk about them?
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, my God. Are they going to hunt me down and murder me now?
No, right. We like to do real-time justice, and it's happening now.
You're shaming me in front of the public.
Well, I want to encourage everybody to know that you probably have a local Legal Hackers chapter yourself. We have one in Boston.
Yes.
You're a co-organizer.
I can't believe I didn't mention this. Is really bad.
David Calarus is a co-organizer.
We're definitely editing this on the back end. Go ahead.
yeah, and this is one of the creative examples of the sorts of programming that you get with Legal Hackers.
Yes. And actually, like, did I tell you that I had two other legal hacker organizations in different cities reach out to me to do this again?
Fantastic.
So, yes.
You found your spiritual home.
But that was a grievance for me. You just, like, you had a lot of issues with these people, specifically me, and I thank you for calling me out on that. I should have mentioned Legal Hackers.
Not at all.
Now I feel terrible.
Well,
now I'll get over it.
I wish that you'd feel good because, hey, now... You have every opportunity to revel and celebrate the legal hacker that you are.
Right, exactly.
But now let's come to the substantive grievances.
Yes, you have grievances. Good, excellent.
Okay. Item number one. I think Paul Gouder started to reference this a little
bit. I love how everybody had bullet points. This is great.
Oh, yes.
Wait, can I ask
bullets.
You, before we do that, can I ask you if you have a pet?
I don't have a pet so much as pets have me, I would say. I'm equally distributed among a great many pets, and I guess I have to start with Jonathan Askin's pet.
Okay.
Who's a wonderful labradoodle. And I could go down from there, but I have my special places in the hearts of many pets, and they require much affection from me, and they give infinite wonderfulness back. Pets are the best. I do all tend right. more toward dog, but you know, cats, dog internet, what's not to love?
Yeah, well, all right, great, great. Okay, yeah, so we'll do a one pet limit. Okay, go to your grievances. I won't interrupt you again. I promise.
What is with the concept that as soon as a legal document becomes like scanned or somebody composes it in Microsoft Word or it exists as a PDF, that now we have achieved the mecca of legal tech, that we're now at the arrival zone. Like, yeah, it's digital.
Do you mean the paperless office?
Yeah. So it's not paperless, but you know, like that's a paper paradigm. And so my number one grievance is like, you know, congratulations on the baby step of being digital and not like literally paper, but now come the days of data. And so the big grievance is like to, or I guess it's more imploring to go from this document paradigm in legal tech and take that step over the chasm to data.
Oh, this is a hot take. I like this.
And, you know, so like to have legal instruments express themselves as data, like through an API or a service or something that you can use an app with or for. Mm. I think like that is the number one grievance is like we as a profession and just as a society, it's time to actually get over the hump. And like, you know, banking and finance, other industries are well into existing as data that's, you know, careful.
No, that's fantastic. That's a great example. Yet. Yeah, that's awesome.
Item number two.
Yes.
How do we do law? And like, who are we as a profession? I think we're, to the extent that the lights are coming on, and we've heard about a lot of it tonight with cool apps and online services, they're still largely being pushed through these antiquated legal practices and workflows that are not different in kind than how they were, you know, with parchment. And and so, you know, I think the next thing is to start looking for opportunities to like re-engineer legal processes and legal practices so that they're, you know, so that we're able to take advantage of these new capabilities when things are connected, when they're integrated.
Yeah.
And there's an opportunity to have them be somewhat more human-centered too.
Absolutely. Yeah. No qualitative change since like Charles Dickens was writing about lawyers. Yeah. I agree.
Writ of Hammurabi maybe. So yeah, we're not chiseling in stone anymore. And so let's act like it.
Yes.
Item number three. And it's also
you're bringing a lot of gravitas to the proceedings. I like it.
Well, it gets to like, it's sort of connected to the processes, but it's like the institutions, if you will. And so, you know, I think when Warren spoke about his legal analytics committee, that's an example of, that's so interesting and wonderful, partly because it's such an exception.
Right. Yes.
And, you know, I think, As a profession or an industry, or like as a people, it's time to stop clinging to and like defensively, like doubling down on this, on the monopolistic guild framework, and to start looking at ways that we can start to innovate with like new models. And I would love to see the institutions, rather than, you know, largely chilling innovation and defending the previous way, to really engage and like, you know, actively embrace development and testing and helping others to deploy these innovative new kind of service delivery models and just the idea of computation that can be composed as, in lots of different ways,
right.
not necessarily as a what we think of as a law firm or a legal or a licensed attorney practicing law per se.
Do you think ABS coming to the U.S. is a requirement before we get to that point? Do you think people will be reactionary up to the time law firms have corporate overlords, or no? Do you think lawyers can do it on their own, I guess is what I'm asking.
I don't know. And so, you know, like I feel the yearning for reforms. Yes. But I think part of, when I said develop and test before deploy, what I'd really love to see is trying a few things.
Right.
So ABS, but there's a lot of different ways to look at, you know, kind of recomposing the functions of law into different types of business models and processes and roles and relationships. I'd like to see like an affirmative, deliberate period of experimentation, a sober evaluation, and then a reformation But the idea of resisting and holding on to yesterday is not the attitude that's going to get us there. That right. was grievance number three.
That was great. You have more.
Are you ready for a show of jurisprudential?
Yes. Yes, please.
Okay. So I think there's...
Do you need props?
I'm going to give props.
Okay.
Like mad props.
We didn't plan that. Well played.
Thanks. Your honor. Thank you. I'll let the record reflect. His honor liked my quip. And so the... I mentioned legal hackers. I think that they're a great example. And I think today, although I... Because of the format of the show, there's legal grievances, so I'm playing along.
All right.
What I see is mostly good, actually. It's not mostly dire or problematic or obstacles. I'm seeing a lot of light. A lot of lights are turning on. You know, like your company and what you're doing is a great example.
Oh, what's thank happening. You, sir. You're too kind.
I think legal hackers is a great bottom up.
Your check is in the mail.
Thank you. Venmo. You can check. Come on.
Venmo. We will Venmo you. I know. I'm not following the thread of conversation.
I do accept anyway.
No, but I think there's like a groundswell of positivity. I think you're right.
Legal hackers is a great example of a group. Legalhackers.org is where you can find out about that and find out about your local communities, law schools. So, what's happening right here at Suffolk, and I'm a proud alum of Suffolk with the Legal Innovation and Technology Lab is a great example. I think Stanford Codex is another great example. So there's some law schools where the lights are coming on.
Yep.
And now we come finally to the one that I can speak to more directly, which is even in engineering and technology schools like MIT, the lights are coming on. And so the main show, I would like to say, for our dear listeners in podcast land back in December 6th, which is in our future,
this is getting pretty meta.
A public launch of the MIT Computational Law Report, where we're going to try to, where we are compiling some of the best examples, we think, of computational legal systems and processes and legal instruments, data-driven contracts.
Awesome.
And rules and prototypes and examples, good articles, data sets you can play with, and putting that out there. So,
Did you just give us a scoop? Thank you.
You've got the scoop. Yes. I mean, you doing the show, you deserve the scoop.
Thank you, sir. sounds really great, though. That's launching on December 6th.
December 6th is when we go, it's a soft launch. We're going to go from private to public, but that's when you go to the site, you can see everything. Right now, it's still private.
Oh, that's really cool.
And we really want to just explore the ways that law and legal processes can be reimagined and re-engineered as computational systems.
And so what's the site? Is it just like the MIT Media Lab site or is there a specific URL?
.mit.edu. Da-da.
I like how there's a song. Did you write that?
On the fly.
That's pretty good. This is great. Do you have anything else that you want to add?
I just want to say, I think we ought to make this an annual Festivus tradition.
Yes. And next time I'm going to bring a Festivus poll. I don't know if I mentioned it. I tried to find a Festivus poll at Walmart. I was like, do you have a Festivus poll? They said no.
There was some poll that David was
I believe that's a stick.
Oh, okay.
Right. I'll do better. I'll do better next year. Well, thank you. So do you want to, again, say who you are, your affiliation, and then, like, let's pimp this computational law thing again?
Yep. Dazza Greenwood.
Pimp is strong, but yes, let's do it.
Dazza Greenwood and the MIT Computational Law Report.
Yes.
Where I hope one day we can collaborate more directly on the podcast tip with your show.
We should.
Found at law.mit.edu.
All right. Everybody check that out. Listen to the theme song. It's beautiful. Thank you, sir. You're free to go.
Your honor.
All right. We're done. You know what? Give yourselves a round of applause. Clap for yourselves. You did a great job. All right, we've reached the end of another episode of the Legal Toolkit podcast. This was a podcast about Law Festivus, and we've been talking to a great group of people here live in Boston, Massachusetts. Now, I'll be back on future shows with further insights into my soul, the soul of America, and the legal market. If you're feeling nostalgic for my dulcet tones, however, you can check out our entire show archive anytime you want at LegalTalkNetwork.com. Thanks to all my various guests today. Finally, thanks to you all out there for listening. This has been the Legal Toolkit Podcast, where we do Festivus right.
Thanks for listening to Legal Toolkit, produced by the broadcast professionals at Legal Talk Network. Join host Jared Correa for his next podcast covering the current business trends for law firms. If you'd like more information about today's show, please visit LegalTalkNetwork.com. Subscribe via iTunes and RSS. Find Legal Talk Network on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Or download the free app from Legal Talk Network in Google Play and iTunes. The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own and do not represent the views of, nor are they endorsed by, Legal Talk Network, its officers, directors, employees, agents, representatives, shareholders, and subsidiaries. None of the content should be considered legal advice. As always, consult a lawyer.
The Lunch Hour Legal Marketing Podcast, your resource for the tips and tactical advice you need to grow your business. Plus, keep up with the news and commentary you crave to stay one step ahead. It's hosted by me, Guy Sakalakis.
And me, Conrad Song. Every other week, we break down the issues holding back your marketing strategy and talk about the changes you need to be prepared for. Check out the Lunch Hour Legal Marketing Podcast wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.